Blog Talk Radio.
Father, make light my prayer and strong my faith. Swift my feet and sure my hand to carry your will to the ends of the earth. And spread the good news of your love through the land. Make peaceful the night and bright the day, with angels calling the rising suns. Now high is the road and clear is the way, and finding your presence has just begun. Oh, that the one who has caused the earth to turn and the stars in their crowning glory to bless the skies with a kingly prize could stay so near to my praying. Father, make strong my heart to know your love, and assure my faith to stand on, holding the earth in the palm of your hand. We are your faith-bound
Good morning, friends. It's Saturday morning, and if it's Saturday morning, it must be Blog Talk Radio and the Cosmic Citizen. This is Paula Thompson coming to you from beautiful Westminster, Colorado. My dear friend Andre is not with us yet, waiting for him to call in. We have a show planned today that involves four interviews that were recorded live at the Summer Seminar, which is a summer study session for the Urantia Book Fellowship. They do a study session every summer, and every third summer we do, I say we because I work for the fellowship, we do a international conference and a triennial, which is a big conference, but then every other summer we do a summer seminar, and we do an intensive study. It's thematic, and so just last month we had our summer seminar at the Dominican University in Chicago, and while we were there, our dear friend Mark Erickson, who is a real high-tech guy, I know you're on the board, Mark, hello to you, and Mark and Andre set up in the corner of a very busy room and did these interviews, so we're going to play them for you today. Hold tight. Here's my good friend, Andre.
Hey, I'm sorry, you guys. I was in the shower too long, didn't realize where the time had gone.
Andre, so, I'm going to get you for this. No, I'm kidding. No, I can handle it, buddy. So I just tried to set up, but go ahead, Andre.
Sure. I just want to let everybody know that And I've not even got a chance to hear these interviews, and although Mark has assured me that the sound quality is good, but I'm sure that Paula has informed everybody that about last month, at the end of July, beginning of August, we had summer seminar in Chicago put on by the Fellowship for Readers of the Urantia Book, and we had a nice reception area there in the evenings where people could hang out and socialize and fellowship and all the rest of that good stuff. And so I did interviews with four different people. I think we've got them in the order that I did them in, Paula. The first interview that I'd like to play for everybody is with Diane LeBrecq, who has graced our show with her presence the last couple of weeks. She is going to be talking about a festival that she is putting on in Canada. She's head of Urantia Canada, and she's going to be putting on a festival this summer. It's the Urantia Family Festival, Family Unity Festival, to bring everybody together and just kind of have a big family party. And it's going to be held in Montreal this summer, and she's trying to get as many people to come as possible. I think it's a great idea, and I wanted to promote it and get a chance for her to kind of get her agenda out there, so to speak.
So cool. So anytime you're ready, you might want to remind folks that in between the interviews, we'd like you to call in if you'd like. And that number is 646-716-8158. So anytime you're ready, Andre, I can start that interview.
Absolutely. Why don't we let it roll?
Okay. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Andre Traversa, host and producer, co-host and producer, I should say, of the Cosmic Citizen Radio program. I am privileged and honored to be recording live. We're doing a live recording right now from the 2009 Chicago Summer Seminar put on by the Fellowship for Readers of the Urantia Book. And you can hear all the background noise. We've got the live ambiance of the conference going on here. This is real radio at its best. None of this telephone stuff that we do from my room at home. This is real live broadcasting that we're doing here right now. With me today is Diane Lebrecht. Diane has been on our show before. She is a citizen of the great city of Montreal, Canada. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about something she is planning next year that I want to make sure everybody knows about, because it's the hottest thing in the Urantia community that I've heard about in a long time. And first of all, Diane, welcome to the Cosmic Citizen.
Hello, Andre, and hello, everyone. What a great event. Do you feel the energy, Andre?
I sure do. I sure do. It's what Pato Bantin calls a vibe in the air, the universal love vibe.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful, what I would call a natural high.
Well, tell us about this. There's an event that you're going to plan, that you're planning, in the process of planning, that's going to be going on next year, and it's going to be different from any other Urantia event ever put on by anybody. Tell us about it.
Yes, with pleasure, Andre. It's called the United Urantia Family Festival. It will be held in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, next year, between July 1st and July 5th, which happens to be our national holiday, July 1st. And July 4th, your 4th of July in the United States, which will be extended until Monday, July 5th. At that event, we will be hosting readers of the Urantia Book from all walks, starting from the foundation to the association to the fellowship to Urantia Canada, even the unaffiliated readers. And the format, as the name says it, it's a festival, meaning it's going to be one big Urantia family celebration. So get ready. We're going to have a wonderful celebration. We have new topics, novelty, unveiling things that are unknown to this day, and we're so looking forward to this. What I'm most impressed about, Andre, is that at this event, which is turning out to be a total success here at the Summer Seminar in Chicago, is that so many people have come up to me and said, Diane, this is absolutely great. This is on top priority on our calendar. We are planning. And just as a little reminder, this great event will happen to be happening at the same time as the world-famous Montreal Jazz Festival. So I have contacted our beloved Pato Bantin, who's accepted right on the spot and said, Diane, count me in. I must be there. And I turned out to have spoken to a Urantia Book reader who knows the organizer of the Montreal Jazz Festival. We contacted them, and I met with his secretary, who said to me, Laurent knows Pato. So I said, what about trying to see if we can get Pato on the Montreal Jazz Festival? So it's in the process, and I pray God and Jesus and Mother Spirit to bless us to make a double hitter with Pato at the United Urantia Family Festival.
That's awesome, Diane. You know, one of the things I love about this workshop, this event you're doing, is it's going to be different from conferences. You're not going to have, I don't know if you're going to have plenary speakers, but you're not going to have workshops and plenary sessions and things like that. It's going to be a big party, basically, like a family party, a family gathering, a kind of reunion. Does that mean it's going to be like sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
Not really. This, I'm not going to get on this one. We are focused on the Urantia book, but what's great is, like I've been telling people, I come from a large family, and I remember, I still have the fondest memories about what our family parties were, and it's just about as noisy as it is right now. But I love the feeling. It's so alive. You can feel it in the air. And so that's what we expect the United Urantia Family Festival to be. It will be, instead of being mainly focusing on an academic side, it will be a celebration, meeting our siblings, from the association, from the fellowship, from Urantia Canada, from the unaffiliated readers, finally getting to meet one another and saying, hi, brother, hi, sister, long time no see, or we've never met, I'm happy to introduce myself. And so, just like any family party is all about, it will be filled with surprises in the program, stuff that has not been done before. I've been blessed to have a great, great, great person working with me, Thomas Orgela, a total godsend for this event. And we've laid down tonight the basic program of the event. It's looking very promising, Andre. And I so look forward to meet everyone. I go up in the elevator, at the restaurant, everywhere, and they all say, Diane, count me in, we're going to be there. So it looks like this was an event whose time has come, and it's going to be with great pleasure that we will be hosting people from all around at our festival.
Wow. You know, one of the things I think is so great is about this is that this is really an attempt to create unity. You know, we've had so much disunity in the Urantia movement. Do you feel a burden particularly to create a sense of unity and to heal, maybe to help heal some of the divisions that we've had? And maybe one of the ways to heal them is to not, you know, have some shouting match or try to address them directly, but maybe to just heal them by just bathing people in an atmosphere of love. Is that kind of part of what's on your heart?
Yes and no, Andre, because to me, I have not personally lived that, so I can speak neutrally. Maybe that's why it came so easily to do this event. I did hear from the right, from the left, you know, stories that are connecting with what you just mentioned, but I do not want to put any energy or focus on that. What needs to be resolved will be resolved. Time is a wonderful healer. Love is a wonderful healer. And if you believe in God, if you believe in the true spirit of love, it does wonders, it does miracles that is beyond our human side, but more our divine side, like I did say at ICO8. We need to start living in our HD mode in the true sense of the word, our human divine mode. And when the human side does not work, switch to your divine side, and then you'll get inspired. Miracles will happen, and sometimes you just need to do a little step forward to see that the other one was only waiting for this, to start moving in the right direction and then celebrate. And when forgiveness happens, you become filled with joy. And that's what we feel right here, joy, joy, joy. So why not extend this as a model for all readers? This is the goal of this.
Wow, that's awesome, Dan. Well, I'm definitely going to show up, and I want to know, and I want to just reiterate that this is going to be just a big celebration. There's going to be food and fun and lots of hugs, which I love, and lots of great people and music, and it's just going to be an awesome time. It's just going to be a time for Urantia people to just relax and be friends and enjoy fellowship, because God knows we enjoy fellowship at the conferences, but sometimes we don't get enough time to do that. So this just gives us time to just do that, to just bond with one another, which is just wonderful.
Like to add something, Andre. Even though it is exactly what you just said, it is also going to be very well structured. It is not just going to be a party to party, to have a meaningless gathering. People's time is more precious than that, and we understand this. So it's done with a purpose, with a very pure motive, a spiritual motive. So it's going to be almost like the old principle of an iron hand with a velvet glove. So there's going to be a very solid structure so that we will grow together. There is a focus, a direction to take at the United Urantia Family Festival, and yet it will be done in the spirit of family festival, celebration, so that it will just flow. You know, the corners are going to be round, it's going to be smooth, and it will be to bring us all together. Just like when you go to a wedding, a family wedding, it turns out to be a celebration. You can do things and have a structured program, yet it's done with so much charm, so much tact, and so much love and fraternity, a true spirit of brotherhood, that people turn out and say, wow, what a great time we had. So as we grow, it's not going to be a meaningless. It's going to be a meaningful gathering to look at our values and live them and progress together and help one another.
Wow, that sounds great. When, I think your analogy of a wedding is a great one, because a wedding has a certain structure and has a certain ritual and all those things, but yet people get lost in that. They end up just really appreciating it. So I totally understand. So if someone wants to register for this event, how do they do that? Do they need to contact you, or how does that work?
Well, the best way to do is that they go on the site. We have www.urantia-canada.ca, and or you can also email me at Diane Labrec, D-I-A-N-E. Labrec is L-A-B as beauty, R-E-C-Q-U-E.com. No, at osana.com, I'm sorry, at Osana, O-S as Susan, A-U-N-A.com. Or there's also on the website, you will see there's an 800 line. There's many ways that you can connect with us. And beautifully enough, everybody knows about it. So whether they connect with the fellowship, they will be informed and redirected. Whether they connect with the association, UAI, they will be connected and redirected. So it's going to be a wonderful family participation, and it is our festival. It's everybody's celebration.
Thank you, Diane. We're going to celebrate good times, as the song says, and I really look forward to that. Thank you for being with us again on the Cosmic Citizen.
Thank you, Andre. And I want to say one thing before we end, is that to me, it is happening right now. It will be, the climax will be next year, but we're in the process of it right now, and we can feel it. We can feel the joy, and please, everyone, come and be with us to celebrate at the United Urantia Family Festival. Thank you, Andre, and congratulations for the wonderful work you do.
You're welcome.
Okay. I assume we're back here, Paula?
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah. Wow. I must say, if I can be self-indulgent here, which I like to be, I'm pretty impressed with my own performance there. So it's a pretty, you know, it's interesting. I think it's good that we can actually sound professional here on Blog Talk Radio. We got the sound quality was good, and thanks to Mark. I just think it's great that Mark was there to do those kind of recordings, and I hope that that he will continue to. I'm sure he'll be with us for a long time to come, coming to conferences and helping us out that way. So I thought it was just, I just really want to thank him for that.
You know, and I have to add, Andre, that I was there in that room when you were doing those interviews, and I looked over at you guys several times in the corner over there, and the noise in that room, I mean, you know, I've been to a lot of Urantia parties, and they're always the same. Urantians, they're fun to hang out with because they love to talk. Urantia book readers love to talk and discuss. And you walk into any Urantia party I've ever been to, they congregate in one place, like in the kitchen. They'll all end up in one place. And the noise level in that room is just deafening. It's like, I call it a dull roar. It's a dull roar. And that room definitely that you were in had a dull roar. And I was so worried that we wouldn't be able to hear a word you were saying over that noise, but Mark did a beautiful job.
Well, actually, I wasn't worried about that because we were speaking right into the microphone, so I figured that, you know.
But I guess I don't know enough about broadcasting, to
okay.
know that.
Well, why don't we move on here to our next interview, which is with Robert Moyer. Robert Moyer was my roommate at the conference, ironically, and interestingly enough. And Robert Moyer is a very interesting guy. He is a student of the Urantia Book and the Bible. He is. He says he calls himself a rock star for the retirement community. So he goes to he goes and speaks to a lot of retirement homes and places like that. He is a he's got a place called the Institute for Unconditional Love, and so he is a motivational speaker. He preaches a positive message. As I said, he's a student of the Bible as well as the Urantia Book. And he's just a very interesting person, and he just has a lot of uplifting, edifying things to say. So I thought I would give him the floor for a little bit. So why don't we move on to him?
And I want to add, it's the Center for Unconditional Love.
Oh, okay.
So the acronym is COOL, and he'll tell you, stay cool. And just a dear, dear man. And so here we go with Robert Moyer.
Our next guest here, live from the summer seminar in Chicago, Illinois, actually River Forest, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago, is my friend and roommate, actually. I know that's a lot of TMI for you guys, too much information, but hey, that's okay. We're real, we're authentic, we're transparent here on The Cosmic Citizen. Robert Moyer. Robert Moyer has been a Urantia Book reader since 1990. He is from the Toledo, Ohio area. He conducts seminars on topics like unconditional love and forgiveness. In fact, he's got an organization that deals with that. And you know, God, forgive me, I don't exactly remember the exact name of it. So I'm going to give the microphone to Bob in just a second. Bob, you are really passionate about unconditional love and forgiveness. Why?
Well, you might say we get to the heart of the matter. Because, you know, when we look inside ourselves and we look at our heart and then we look at our heart of hearts, you know, it is just what's there. But, you know, this power of unconditional love, it simply, you know, comes from the heart. And how we come to love God, love others, love ourselves, with no conditions, no matter what. And when you feel unconditional love, then you can also love others and be loved unconditionally as well.
You know, Bob, it's funny you mentioned that, unconditional love. I remember feeling unconditional love for the first time in my life in high school when I was actually at a party put on by some theater people. Some actors and actresses, and for the first time, I really felt unconditional love. Although, actually, now that I think about it, I got it from my grandmother, too, but I didn't realize that's what it was. But I think when you get unconditional love, it's almost like something in you is turned on, something inside you is turned on. Because it's like when I feel loved unconditionally, I feel like I can be completely myself. And I don't have to put on any pretenses or hide anything or put on any facades. What is it about unconditional love that seems to activate something in us?
Well, I think it is when you look at yourself. And the question is, can you love Andre? Can I love myself unconditionally, no matter what? Because, again, I'm good, I'm bad, and occasionally I'm ugly. And so, therefore, there's got to be something inside me that enables me to do that, and that is the gift that I got from God when I was created in His image. And He said, Bob, you are very good. Andre, you are very good, or what?
Well, so tell us, what are you doing to promote this message? I mean, you conduct seminars, you give speeches, you've got some CDs, you've got a book, you got something. Tell us more about your actual work in this area.
Well, about 4 years ago, I started to feel that we were supposed to do something in the area of health and wellness, that we were stress in your life, no matter what. Number two, we're going to resolve conflicts in your life. And number three, we're going to repair, rebuild any damaged relationships that you may have with someone so that you can get back in harmony. And number four, we're going to help you to be a great communicator. And then in the area of health and wellness, if you put the plan into action, we're going to strengthen your immune and become part of this amazing concept.
Wow, that's a lot of claims you're making there, that you're going to help people repair any damaged relationships, resolve conflict, strengthen their immune system. Some people are going to say, wow, I don't know if I can believe all this. But I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt. And first of all, I want to say that, you know, not all my relationships are running smoothly, although most of them are. There's one that's still a stumbling block for me, and one that's in the process
of that offends us, or the relationship, and we're to talk it out. But it doesn't give us the instructions on how to do that. And so I came up with this wonderful way to make that happen, and it illustrates unconditional love. First, I go to the person and I ask for permission to speak to them. It's their space. And they govern that space. And so if they give me permission to speak, I'm able to speak. But if they don't give me permission to speak, that's not the time. But at least I went. And then I'm to simply say thank you, and I'm to leave in silence. But I did what I was supposed to do. And God will honor that. There'll be another time. However, if they say, what, and let me speak, then what I do is I simply state a feeling. I don't blame, I don't judge, I don't condemn. I simply say to them, I am confused. And I don't say another word. I could say, I am angry. But I don't say another word. I go into silence. And then if they ask me why, they've invested a question, then I'm able to speak. And here's what I speak from the heart to restore this relationship. I say to them, I'm confused because I know our relationship is not the best that it could be. And I think you might agree with that.
So you come in a spirit of humility. And you come in as you come as a servant. You say, "What can I do?" And I got to tell you, that's really powerful. But I'm going to play devil's advocate with you just for a second, because I got to tell you, Robert, I'm a sucker for resolving conflict. Okay, I believe very strongly in it, and I try to do that as much as possible. I'd say that 95% of my relationships are ones where conflict has been resolved and worked through. But because I'm not perfect, there are a couple of situations where I've tried resolving conflict and it hasn't worked. What do you do in a situation like that? Or where you, I don't feel like it's... I'll give you one example. One situation, I tried resolving it, and I just didn't feel satisfied that things really came to resolution. And I decided to step back a little bit from the relationship. I decided that I was going to give it a little bit of time. I'm still in relationship with the person, but I'm not quite as close to them as I used to be, and I'm trying to kind of let God do some work behind the scenes. There was an example. Oh, you mentioned the 12 steps. There's a place in the 12 steps which I'm finally starting to understand. It says, we made amends to all those we had harmed, except when to do so would hurt them or others. And I began to realize that sometimes making amends is not the right thing to do at that time. Sometimes I find that I need to wait until that person is ready, until they can handle what I have to say. So do you think there are some variables like that that occur at certain instances?
Absolutely, because, you know, when we get that feeling back, just like you suggested, to be able to step back and say, thank you, God. Thank you for giving me a sign and showing me that there's something wrong. God, show me. What lessons are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to say? And then I look inside myself for the answers. Our biggest problem we have in the world today is the power of being a great communicator, because we don't understand. And so we ask you to remember the word salt. You know, you're the salt of the earth. So S-A-L-T. Now that S, that stands for speak the truth with love, with compassion, with empathy, with caring. And then the A says ask questions. There is so much power and so much benefit to asking questions. Because when we ask questions, not only do we gain knowledge and wisdom and the ability to make great decisions, but we also demonstrate that we're making an investment upon that other person. We are giving them the highest compliment that we can give them. We are sharing their worth and value, and that builds relationships. And then we need to listen with understanding. Now, a lot of us listen for agreement. And when a person doesn't agree with us, we tune them out or we go on the defensive and defend our position. But we need to listen with understanding. We need to try to understand where that other person is coming from, where their point of view, what is it, where they're coming from. And finally, the toughest one of all, Andre, we need to think in silence. Do not interrupt. Be still and know that I am God. And we're all guilty of interrupting. And when we interrupt, all effective communication may cease. And those are those first two and three beautiful steps.
Wow. Well, I'm really glad you talked about understanding, because to me, understanding kind of leads us into our next topic, which is forgiveness. And you've established something called National Forgiveness Day. We'll talk about that in a second, but I applied to forgiveness. Tell us about National Forgiveness Day. How did that come about, and what's the purpose of it?
Well, National Forgiveness Day has a history, amazingly enough, going all the way back about 15 years ago, when, amazingly enough, one group in the United States declared National Forgiveness Day, and another group in Canada declared National Forgiveness Day on different days, but in the same year they were declared.
Tell us, how can people, give us your website again, and how can people contact you, and tell us a little bit about, just tell us a little bit about the CDs you have, and I think you have a book or a couple of books. Tell us about some of your work that people can get if they send a donation to you.
Well, the beautiful thing about our website, www.unconditionallovelive.com. All three words run together. And then when you visit the website, there are many wonderful things you can do, but one of them is signing up as a friend. No strings attached. Amazing benefits. And it's free and just available to there. And so we would encourage people. And then also, if a person wishes to get a copy of our book, the book's got a great title, The Power of Peaceful Thinking, How to Know Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, Master, Friend, and King, How to Build a Deep, Deep, Deep Relationship with Jesus. And then also, we made a CD that we call The Best of Mr. Happy. And it's not Mr. Happy singing, that's my nickname. It's just stories about life and about happiness that reflect everything we've been talking about. And those are just available there, and it's for anyone. And the way that we work is simply by donation. But the only beautiful thing is you can only make one donation a year. We use that. And that's it. You can't give more than once a year.
Okay. Why did you? What's the reason for that policy?
Well, number one, God told us to do it that way, and I think the other reason is that you know how many times a year that groups try to raise money and whatever, but God says to us, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all of your needs will be met. And so therefore, we want to, again, just ask that person's heart. If you believe in the work that we're doing for the kingdom and you would like to support us, please send a donation once a year. And once a year, we'll get one of you. Today, tomorrow, and forever. And may you always be able to share in the joy of doing God's will each day to the best of your ability. And it just doesn't get any better than that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
Wow, that one was a little longer than the first one. But and actually, I think if I remember correctly, most of the interviews are about that length. But
In 2010, over the 4th of July weekend in Montreal. So,
right.
So nobody misunderstands. It
right.
hasn't happened yet. It is going to happen. So.
Okay, then. Why don't we go? Our next interview is with a woman named Laura Amix. And actually, she is, I think she just got on the general counsel for the fellowship. In fact, you know what? Actually, you might know her a little better than I do, Paula. I just wanted to get another woman's perspective. And so I kind of picked someone out randomly, but she's a great lady. So why don't, maybe you can tell us a little bit about her and who she is.
She works for her with her husband. I shouldn't say for. She works with her husband Dan, and they have optometry offices. I think a couple of them in Florida, and they work very hard. And they are devoted Urantia book readers. I think they met each other at the FSUB conference that goes on every year in Florida. It's the longest-running yearly Urantia conference of all of them. I think it's been happening every year for 30 years or something like that. The Florida Students of the Urantia Book is an autonomous and separate organization. They're not affiliated with any other Urantia organization. They do great work. They're devoted. And Laura is really dynamic. I want to say Laura. It's Lara, L-A-R-A. And she's just a very dynamic person, and I'm so happy that she's on the general counsel. It's going to be a real pleasure working with her. She's very efficient, capable, articulate, just really an amazing person.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Why don't we go? What I did is I interviewed her about how she found the Urantia Book, so why don't we listen to her testimony then?
Okay, great.
Our next guest, we're on a roll here, ladies and gentlemen, on the Cosmic Citizen. Our next guest is a lovely lady by the name of Laura Amix. Laura Amix is from Florida, and she found the Urantia Book at a very young age, at the age of 20. Well, actually, I found it when I was 14, so I beat you. But she found it at the age of 20, and I guess what I really would like to ask Laura first is, we're going to talk to her about her journey as a reader, but I guess what I want to ask is, how you found it at such a young age, and what attracted you to it?
Well, first I have to say, my name is Lara, not Laura.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Well, what led me to the Urantia Book at such a young age was a very bad marriage. Nothing like misery to make you go searching for something much better. And I was separated, and actually I went into the restroom, and on the back of the toilet was this huge blue book. And I sat in the bathroom for about 25 minutes poring through this book. And I walked out, and his father was about 75 years old, and I'm like an obnoxious 20-year-old. And I said, oh, my God, what is this? And he rolled his eyes at me because he knew what a lunatic I was. And that's how I found the Urantia Book. He gave me a book for Christmas 2 weeks later. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you have to get it. And I was so freeing to let go of that belief. And I actually let it go before I got into the Urantia Book.
Wow. So to what extent was the Urantia Book consistent with the religion that you had created? Was it basically everything you always wanted to believe? I mean, was it everything that you already kind of knew on a sort of intuitive level to be true, or were there any surprises that you came in that you had to kind of say, what's this?
My adult life, I've been involved in a study group from the beginning, pretty consistently.
Now, your friend Jack, was that the guy that whose dad had been reading the book?
Actually, Jack was the dad. Mark, who was his son that I was dating, he never picked up the book, never read the book, He believed what his father shared with him, but never went any further with it. So he was kind of like the middleman for me.
So basically, you've been sold on this drug called the Your Answer Book ever since you found it, and you haven't turned back.
Not for a minute. I've so been in love with this book for my entire life.
Now you said you turned your back on organized religion. Are you currently involved in any kind of church or anything at all, or do you get those needs met through the Your Answer community?
Well, actually, it's a kind of a longer answer to that. Is I left the organized religion before I found the Arantia book, and when finding the Arantia book, I was raised Lutheran. I could never get past the atonement doctrine in organized Christianity. The biggest thing that I do miss, however, is the group worship, that communal worship, some of the ceremony around it. That has been my only... the only thing I've missed since finding the Arantia book. And luckily, the Arantia community is now pulling worship into a lot of their functions. But I have not been able to go back to the church because of the atonement doctrine.
That's really interesting, because that's where your journey and mine are different, because what happened with me, Laura, is when I was 14, I found the Arantia book, but the study groups were so cerebral, and there was no group worship, and, you know, there were certain needs that I needed to get met that I wasn't getting met there. And so I was talking to my born-again Christian friends, and they were telling me how to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and they told me how God could be a part of my life. And I wasn't getting that from other Your Answer Book readers, because at that time, 25 years ago, the Your Answer community was just strictly intellectual and academic, and you couldn't talk to people about what God was doing in your life personally. There was almost no group worship at all. And so... And it's interesting, because you mentioned the atonement doctrine, because this may be... Now, let me ask you something about that. Had you let go of the atonement doctrine before you found the Your Answer book? And what was it about the atonement doctrine that you found so objectionable?
I did let go of the atonement doctrine before I found the Your Answer book, and I could never quite accept the concept that God would have to punish one child to forgive another time. And in fact, that was part of the reason I got involved with organizing conferences, because I needed that in my life, and I wanted to bring worship to conferences.
That's awesome. That's great. I'm really glad to hear that. It's interesting, because my reaction has been a little different than yours, because it was hard for me to let go of the atonement doctrine. I went back and forth. I rejected the Your Answer book for about 10 years and only came back to it again 3 years ago. And it was hard for me to let go of the atonement doctrine. And I think, in my case, it was because I grew up with a very verbally abusive father. And so I really believed that I was a piece of garbage. And I had really low self-esteem. And so I thought the only way God could love me is if, you know, Jesus covered me with his blood, you know, that was the only way God could find me worthy of his approval and his love. So I, unfortunately, you know, the thing about the atonement doctrine is it makes no sense intellectually, but it does make people feel good. And it didn't make you feel good, but it does make people feel good, some people at least, for a temporary amount of time. But I...
So, and I have no children, so I don't have a lot of children in my sphere of my world. And so I have to say that, yeah, I have a hard time, you know, bridging that gulf with young adults, because it's so foreign to me in my world. I'm sorry, I lost my thought there.
It's okay. So what would you say to new readers who are reading the book, who found
it? It just makes you know, it brings tears to my eyes to remember how it felt to find...
Doesn't that just make you, like, so... I mean, I think you're so blessed to be able to have that contact with new readers, because it's like... Doesn't it just remind you of what you've got? Doesn't it just remind you on a regular basis of just how blessed we are to have this revelation? I mean, I would think that would be like what a spiritual booster shot that must be for you.
Oh.
And all kinds of people. So what is, you know, you probably get everybody from all over the spectrum, but is there an average age range, you think, of new readers? I mean, you know, Laura found it when she was 20. This guy found it when he was 36. I found it when I was 14. You probably get, you get people kind of all over the map from all ages who find the book.
I'm meeting more and more and more young readers.
Wow. That's really encouraging.
Young people are finding it not, and I think I know why. It's because that's the other thing, too, that...
Wow. A million... That's a lot. That's amazing. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. I'd be curious to see what, you know, what how many visitors go to the other site, the foundation site, the Urantia, was it, I think it's Urantia.org or something. The other one, and I'd also be curious to see how many people go, I don't know if the UAI, I think the UAI has got a site too, and I don't know if the book is available on their site as well, but that's awesome. A million visitors. What that says to me is there may be a lot more readers than people think. Now, I realize that not everybody who visits the site, you know, reads, but even if 10% did, that would be amazing. That would be, I mean, there must be, I wonder if there are thousands and thousands of more readers than we realize.
Well, I think there are, and you know, I think that we experience the whole gamut of emotions when we read this book, and the vast majority of people don't tell anybody they read it because it can be social suicide to admit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, if most people wouldn't do that. They're just afraid. I mean, right now, I have a dear friend in Pakistan who is reading the book, and she is going from village to village, and she is, you know, turned so many other women onto the book. They read it. Well, my gosh, she does so under the penalty of death.
Yes, and
she could be
in a country like that with in such a radical Muslim nation, that's amazing, especially with the book's embrace.
Chains and realize that God is so much more than we know, so much more.
Absolutely. And I find, you know, and I'm sure you tell this true, I have not had as much experience with interfaith stuff as you have. My background is primarily interacting with other Christians, but one of the things I find is, you know, if you focus on theology and belief, you're gonna end up with so many differences, but if you start talking to people about their experience with God, it's amazing how much you have in common, because it's amazing the similarities that, you know, come from having more group worship in the Urantia movement. And I think that's wonderful. You know, one of the things that I think it's really unfortunate that has happened over the years, and it's not as bad as it used to be, but there seems to be a mentality among some readers, unfortunately among too many readers, at least it used to be a lot more prevalent, that you know, that all group worship is bad, that all rituals are bad, that all traditions are bad. And I think that's a really tragic misunderstanding of Jesus, of what Jesus is teaching, because Jesus wasn't against ritual or tradition.
My friend Anthony Marquito and I had some time to kill, and so we went and walked around and saw Central Park and Trump Towers and stuff like that, and we walked by St. Patrick's Cathedral, and he and we walked inside right when they were doing communion, and Anthony became very, very reverent, and he took my hand and led me down towards the front where they were doing communion, and we sat in one of the pews off to the side. We didn't want to disturb anybody, but we just sat there, and he leaned, you know, I was following his cues. We leaned way up on the edge of the seat. Well, who am I to say to them, that's silly, because it means nothing to me? And I realized right then that rituals are only valuable if they're meaningful. But
absolutely,
if they are meaningful, then they are valuable indeed.
Well, and I think what Jesus was against was people who were doing things and their hearts weren't in them. You know,
right.
If your heart's not
meaningless.
In it, then don't do it. But if your heart is in it, and you are getting, you know, I mean, there are some, I just, and I'll tell you, I think I would love to see us create, either adapt old rituals from our existing traditions into the Urantia movement, or create new rituals and ceremonies. You know, I don't, and again, I'm not saying it's for everybody. Some people don't like it, and that's fine, and they don't have, but again, please don't put those of us down who do appreciate that, and who do, and it could be something very as simple as a prayer circle, or a group hug, or as simple as, you know, whatever it would be, or, you know, whatever, but this idea that I think that some Urantia readers have. You know, the Urantia talks about how religion is personal, but that doesn't mean it's all private. That doesn't mean that we have to do it all by ourselves and we can't do anything in a group. You know, I've known people who say you shouldn't pray with other people. You should only pray by yourself. Well, I was just reading in the paper on Gethsemane. Jesus got together with his apostles for a group prayer. In fact, it said for their last group prayer. So that means they must have done it more than once.
I have to agree with you, Andrea. I think we have an opportunity to create meaning, to bring meaning into our own experience. And there's absolutely no reason why. When you go to a candlelight vigil, imagine what it would be like if you didn't have the candles. Whatever we bring, whatever meaning we bring, it's the meaning we bring. And if it doesn't have meaning anymore, then let's let it go and find something that does have meaning.
Absolutely.
For us. The Urantia book tells us we need symbols because symbols are powerful to us. So should we say symbols are nonsense? And what is a symbol but a thing? No, a symbol is valuable because it has meaning to us. So as long as we keep the meaning and value in what we do, then, And I agree, we have this great opportunity to create, to bring things to ourselves that have meaning and value. Group worship, group ritual, whatever it is. And I've heard some pretty powerful stories about it.
Let me also say, I think a bold statement, I would argue that a balanced religious life is one.
Well, it has a whole list of things that group worship or group religion does bring that is good into our lives. So.
Well, I think the pitfall the book talks about is when religions become institutionalized. But again, I think what's happened for a long time with the Urantia movement is we were so afraid of becoming a church that we didn't want to that we did end up throwing the baby out with the bathwater. The fact is there are good things about churches. That's why they've survived for so long. So you want to be able to keep the wine, throw away the old wineskins, but keep the wine. And it's like Jesus says, if the wine is new, you drink it. If it's old, you drink it with gladness. It's like an old friend,
Right.
So,
Jesus had such a way of bringing things right down to the basic essence of what they were and what they mean and in the
absolutely.
Simplest form. So
why don't we go to our last interview here? The last interview is with Laura's husband, Dan, and I talked to him a little bit about his business because actually what they...
And had some unusual experiences, and at one point decided that I wanted to bring something back from my dream state. Something unusual happened. I had a vision. A being came to take me. I couldn't see the being, but I was quite aware of its presence. And, of course, this is kind of while I'm sleeping. The being took me to another place, and I was aware of time and the passage of much space, and I ended up in a place that was much like the teaching facility where they do surgery and someone watches you from up above. The being was representing me in my desire to bring something back. And spoke to these other beings up above that were watching the event. And my representative said that I would be allowed to take something back. Feelings and the whole experience, it was very, very lucid. Dreams are often convoluted and kind of strange, ethereal. This was very, very, I was very aware of everything that was going on.
Wow. So after you found the Urantia book, I'm not going to get into the thing about how long it took you. I asked your wife a lot of questions about the Urantia book, but what inspired you to create a business with a kind of spiritual...
had problems with her family and felt that God was punishing her, that every time she did something, she would try to do good things, bad things would happen. And I was able to tell her God doesn't punish. And she looked at me and she said, what do you mean? I said, God doesn't punish. God loves you. I said, that's an old concept that we've carried around for a long, long time. God does not punish. And she started crying in the office. I think when you truly love people that come in, when you really care about their well-being, they feel that. And they're much more ready to open up and talk about themselves personally. They're disarmed by that. And I think that's really the crux of the situation. if you love them, you truly care, then they feel safe and they trust you and they'll open up.
But in the meantime, while they're in that transition state, what can they do to turn the current job they're in into a ministry?
I think the most important thing is to realize that we are truly a family, that the people that you encounter are similar to mothers and fathers, brothers, sisters, sons and daughters, and to look at them from that perspective, that this is really another part of God that you're communicating with. This can allow you to empathize and put yourself in their position. Treat them the way that you want to be treated. Treat them with the love and affection that you would expect the father to do if he was there.
Let me just ask you one other question. Have you ever gotten in a position on your job, you know, with one of your customers, have you ever gotten into a place where you've been able to plant some seeds that actually would have gotten you to a place where you actually have been able to talk to someone about the Iran?
I read carefully, and I guess relying heavily on the Father and His direction through the Spirit of Truth is your best bet. But it is dangerous, in a sense, for a business.
But I would think that a lot of it has to do with reading where a person is. Just being able to read a, if you can tell when a person is spiritually hungry, by the questions they ask, by the things they say, like the woman you just mentioned to me, the one who felt like God was punishing her. I mean, she obviously
maybe even a couple of them, or at least put them on the website or something, so that people, get maybe you've never been to a Rancher conference, and people have some idea what this is like, and it might actually inspire people to attend one.
Yeah, I have to comment on something that in the point of that interview, Andre, and that was that we can all do good as we pass by, and we can all be ministers to each other in the truest sense of ministry, that is to uplift another human being, to make them feel better, to help them find the satisfactions of living, to help them find an answer that is satisfying for them and gives them courage to carry on or dignity, restores their human dignity or their self-respect. Any one of us can do that at any time and may be called to do that at any time. And it reminds me of a section from the Urantia book, which from the Jesus Papers, he did, and he gives this discourse on religion, on true religion, and the second discourse on religion, where he really talks about the difference between the religions of authority and the religion of the Spirit, which is his religion. I mean, you've got to think about what religion was Jesus. He obviously wasn't a good Jew, because if he had been a good Jewish boy, they wouldn't have crucified him as a heretic, right? What did he bring? He was an ambassador from God. He brought us ennobled by love, dominated by mercy, and restrained by fairness, justice. The Spirit which my Father and I shall send into the world is not only the Spirit of truth, but also the Spirit of idealistic beauty. So that interview that you did with Dan reminded me of that quote that, we can all live sacred lives and holy, and are living their convictions, I think part of the problem, Andre, is people have a double life. Often they lead a double life. They go to their church or their congregation, and they're very spiritual, but then they go back to work, and now it's dog-eat-dog, And it's business, Don't take it personal. It's just business, And I think when we integrate our spirituality with our everyday lives, when we invite God into the moment.
And anything we've discussed so far, or anything that was discussed in any of the interviews, give us a buzz here, 646-716-8158. That's 646-716-8158.
We're having a great time on the chat board, Andre. It's just a lot of lively conversation going on, and it's really wonderful. Kevin is with us from Tokyo again. He comes in the middle of the night, and He and Ann and Larry have started a, and, you know, it's that old being afraid to live is almost as important as not being afraid to die. You know, if you can live courageous lives before God, what would you give for that, to be courageous on this most difficult planet? So.
Well, and I would say from my own experience, too, I happened to find out about the Urantia book as a little kid, right about the time that my brother passed away. My mom had a baby that was born severely disabled and deformed, and as a result of the medication that she was taking for tuberculosis. And so he died right after birth. And we were still grieving, you know, as a family, over the loss of this anticipated new member of the family. And so the very first introduction I had to the book as a kid was about life after death. And it was such a positive experience. It not just something that eliminated fear, but something that actually made me very enthusiastic about dying. And my brother and I were sort of like, well, you know, let's go now. And my dad had to sort of encourage us to, you know, live a full life where we were and not be in any hurry to leave. But that was, for me, such a wonderful way to approach the concept of death and dying as a really young person, because I have to say that I've gone through my entire life without having any fear of death, and I can't really relate to what it must be like for people who are afraid to die or who are confused about. And his friend said, well, you know, I've thought about it too, and I decided even if I found out that this was a fraud, he said, I wouldn't look any farther because the Urantia book says what I want to believe is true.
Well, not only that, Crystal, but, you know, I think that we have to remember, and this is something that I think we have to be careful of, that is we don't become Urantia book fundamentalists. So we need to recognize that the Urantia book is not there to point back to itself. It's there to point to God.
The teacher is exactly the same thing. It uplifts you, and it allows you, it sets you free. Jesus said it. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, what will it make you free of? Will it make you free? I mean, if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, here's the truth, Andre, you're going to hell. Are you free now? Did that make you free?
Well, first of all, I think it makes you free of lies. That's one of the things it makes you free of.
It makes you free of, to me, for me, it makes you free of fear and angst and doubt and, you know, shame and blame and all of the things that holds us, you know, as a group of human beings, just holds us down, earthbound, to just, you know, weighs us down and enchains us, enslaves us, especially. Of all of them, it's fear. Of all of them, it is. And, you know, two things, Crystalline, that, you know, I've heard readers say that always stay with me when asked that question. The first one is, when asked that question, well, what if you found out it's not true?
It's funny, though, you guys, because, you know, you're talking about people who are afraid of death. And you also, Crystal was saying how your dad had to encourage you guys to, when you were children, to not be in a hurry to leave this planet. And it's funny, though, because I also find, though, that it's kind of strange because, you know, the Urantia tells us that on planets of light and life, people tend to, you might live, 300 years or 500 years or whatever. But I also find, unfortunately, that there are people, one of the people in my life who's very close to me, who I have a very frustrating relationship with, is obsessed with living as long as they possibly can. You know, they're so worried about dying early, and they're worried about other people close to them dying early. And I think that they, and I can't, I don't know for sure, but I think this person is afraid of death. So I guess what I'm saying is, yes, we shouldn't be in a hurry to leave. But on the other hand, I'm not obsessed, though, either, with living as long as I possibly can. It's not like a something that I focus on.
And how much, what a lively chat room we've had today. Andre, we have some people that are showing up, some wonderful people that are discovering the Urantia book through this blog talk radio program.
Thank you. That's awesome.
And I was now, Paul, I'm trying to multitask what Kevin said earlier about the bridge. Kevin, right? I love what Kevin said about he had a lot of fear of God, and the learning a God of love has just totally changed his process.
He's not afraid to love God anymore.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, I think, isn't that amazing that anybody would be afraid to love God?
Yes.
But
we,
you know, it's
Chris,
almost,
we welcome, Chris is a she. I don't know if you clarified that. She is an identical twin.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
oh, wow.
Chris.
To Kathy. So,
oh, wow, beautiful.
And then we had Sale, who I think Sale just had to leave the room, but Sale is brand new today.
Now, is Kathy, her sister, a reader? Is she a reader, too?
Chris was, no, they just discovered the book through this Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I see. So Chris and Kathy both are on the board.
No, Chris and Kathy is the name of the person online. So Chris and Kathy is just their moniker.
Oh, I see.
And we have been told by Chris that she is just there by herself, but
okay.
That she has a twin.
Right. Her sister doesn't have the ability to get online right now. So I believe that's what she said earlier. So, oh, and here, Chris is making a comment. Yes, I bought several copies and gave her a copy. So we're reading the chat room to you, Andre. We've just had a lively chat room today. And my computer has been extremely slow, as usual. And Kevin, is so great that you're with us. And thank you, Paula, for mentioning Wednesday.
And that's at 8 a.m. Central Time, is that right?
Right.
At 7 Mountain Time, that's right.
Right. And Andre, everybody was commenting about those interviews. I said it sounded like you were on the convention floor when you
were. Well, that's kind of the ambiance I was trying to create there. So that's
yeah,
why
we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. Okay, I'll hang up. Y'all only have what?
On people that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, I think so, Andre. We just put it out there. We sow the seeds, you know. So
that's
thank
great.
You, Mike. Have a wonderful week.
You too. Thank you so much, Paula. It's always awesome working with you.
You too, my friend.
Thank you. And we'll see you guys next week.
If it's Saturday, it's the Cosmic Citizen. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Cosmic Citizen, a radio program focused primarily on the study and discussion of the Urantia Book and its teachings. The Urantia Book is a religious text that claims to be written by angels and other superhuman personalities. If you are a Urantia Book reader or a spiritual seeker looking for new truth, we hope and pray you have been nourished and edified by our ministry. Please remember that the views expressed on this program do not reflect the official views and opinions of any Urantia organizations. There is no official interpretation of the Urantia Book, so all opinion magical mind discovers.